Hey, we're back. So glad you're joining us. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, through the revelation of the Anointed One, He unveiled His secret desires. God has secrets. And like any normal person, you don't just blab your secrets to anybody. You hold them and then you share them with people you trust, with people you love. And so God has given to us, His beloved ones, those that are wrapped into Christ, He's given us the secret desires of His heart. He's revealed to us the hidden mystery of His long-range plan, which he has delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. The mystery, circle that word mystery. That is the Greek word mysterion, and it means a secret or mystery. It would be equal to the Hebrew word sod, S-O-D. If you've been in some of our teaching where I talk about the levels of God's Word, that fourth level is the secret or the mystery realm where God reveals His secrets, and you only get it because God chose to give it to you. You don't discover it in a commentary. You can't get it in a class. But God brings revelation to our soul, and He unveils the secrets of His heart to us. And it says God is delighted to share these things with us, things beyond our experience. It's yours for the taking. The mystery has been given to you. God has wired you for His secrets. He has given you the wiring to receive revelation, to receive the secrets of God. And He's implemented this from the beginning of time. Verse 10, because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax. And what will the fulfillment of the ages be? Listen to this. Here's the secret. When God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ, He will join everything together. Now, this is taken from the Aramaic text. In the Greek New Testament, it says God will sum up everything, or He will gather everything together under Christ. But the Aramaic, I chose to use the Aramaic in this verse because I purposely feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to think beyond our present understanding. Yes, He's going to gather everything in Christ, and we're part of that. But He's going to make everything new. Doesn't He say, behold, I make all things new? He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And the former mindset is going to pass away. I can't wait to share with you some secrets from the book of Revelation. Because when you get a new heaven and a new earth, you're going to walk in a different way. And I think you can have a new heaven and a new earth now. The one you have isn't working that well. You need a new heaven and a new earth. And when you understand heaven is moving from a location to an experience, and that the new earth is a new man, a new being, because that's what we're made from, a new creation species that's being raised up. And we begin to operate in the realm of new earth reality and a new heaven tribe. Woo. Glory. Verse 11, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God to be His own inheritance. Are you sitting down? God has claimed us to be His inheritance. Any thinking human being would say, what's He going to get from me? Oh, you don't understand. He gets an outlet. He gets a way to express Himself. He gets the delight of His heart. He gets a look-alike partner for his son. He gets a container to carry, like Mary, to carry the Christ. You make a very wonderful container for Jesus. You know that? You're made as a vessel. You're going to carry something. Some of you carry grudges. Some of us carry bitterness. Some of us carry issues. But He's chosen us. And as we come to know Him, He then receives an inheritance in us. Only the Holy Spirit can make this real to you. This doesn't fit in the mind. mind is too small to contain revelation. This fits here. And the mind takes a while to catch up. But let's talk about it quickly. We are the inheritance of God. You need to read verse 11 over before you go to bed tonight. Actually, read the entire first chapter. I dare you. And capture, keep what you were given here in these sessions we've shared together. Keep it. Treasure it. Like Mary treasured these things in her heart. And because you may not understand all of it, doesn't mean it's not real. We're not limited to our understanding. We're limited by our faith or by our doubt. So by faith, we mix the Word of God with faith, and then we receive the fullness of the truth that He's given to us. In Deuteronomy 32:9, it says, "The Lord's people are His inheritance." Israel was His inheritance. If Israel was His inheritance, we are the Israel of God, Paul says in Galatians. The Jew is you. So in Christ, we receive those blessings of Abraham. We get every promise given to Abraham. I don't care what you've been taught or what's been said to you. The blessings of Father Abraham are upon his seed, both the heavenly and the earthly, and we are the heavenly seed of Abraham. It's so true that there is no Jew or Gentile in Christ. There's no male or female in Christ. We are one in Him. He's broken down that middle wall, and now we are joined as one. Organically, we are united into the promises of God, grafted into the glory. We carry all of the divine presence and power promised to Israel. It's now given to the church. That doesn't replace Israel. I'm not teaching a replacement thing, but we have been given a blessing that Israel aspired to, and according to Romans 11, they came short of it. But in grace, we have been given that blessing, and if we will remain humble, Paul says, and not exalt ourselves, then that blessing will remain upon us. So, how does it feel to be the divine inheritance? You are His unique chosen inheritance. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. We are a chosen people, a chosen nation. And this destiny was given to us before we were even, before your embryo was formed in your mother's womb. There is no doubt in God's ability and power to ensure the fulfillment of His plan in your life. There is a limitless power source to make sure your destiny comes to pass. Because every blessing is yours, He will spare no expense to see that you reach your desired goal. If you read through John 17, you will find many times in John 17, Jesus says that you have been given to Him by the Father. So you are the inheritance of God given to Jesus. You are the love gift the Father gave to Jesus. Process this. You are the best gift Abba could give His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You're it. You're the inheritance He chose. And Jesus, His last night, hours before He is crucified, He thanks God that He, the Father, gave us to Him, to Jesus. Ah! Ah! Swoon, you know? How can this be? You know, strengthen me with raisins. I'm passing out at my engagement party. You're the reward of Jesus' sufferings, and what Jesus inherits, you inherit. We are co-heirs. A co-heir means we equally inherit from the Father. Everything Jesus gets, you get. Listen, the perfect standing Jesus has before the Father, you have. When you stand before Almighty God, Jesus and you stand together and look at the Father in His eyes. The Father's going to look at you and say, "Now, which one's Jesus? You look just alike. Now my destiny has come to pass. I'm going to fill the universe with lookalikes of Jesus. Everything I desire about Jesus, I'm going to put in your life," the Father says. Everything. All the righteousness, all the glory, all the authority, All the standing before God. You look like Jesus when you come before the throne. You look like Jesus when you stand before the devil. You look like Jesus when you worship Him before the angels. Everything about you now is to carry the glory cloud, and I'm seeing it even in the spirit right now. I'm seeing a cloud of glory come over many of your heads, trying to impregnate you with the seed and glory of God, to get your mind renewed, to be transformed by the transfiguration. The revelation truth of Ephesians is the Mount of Transfiguration you've been wanting to go to. And you're not even in Israel. I got to keep going. Verse 12, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to long for the messianic hope, we would be the first to believe in Him and bring great praise to God. Verse 13, because of Him, when you who are not Jewish heard the revelation of truth, which would be most of us, you believed. When you heard, your ear was pierced, your heart was pierced, and you believed because you were selected. See, God wired you to receive the gospel. Man, I mean, He won, cha-ching. He set it up ahead of time. Like, it's the stage is set for the fulfillment of the ages, which is to fill the universe with Christ in you. A Christ in you company is coming. Christ in you people are coming. Lookalikes. They're going to carry like Mary. Have I said that enough? They're going to give birth to something so beautiful. By the way, all of creation, Romans 8, 17, all of creation is groaning in the pangs of childbirth and labor pains. The cosmos is in labor and groaning and travailing. For what? The rapture? For somebody to come for. Who is it? It's us. They're waiting for the sons to arise, the glorious daughters to arise, sons and daughters of the living God, to rise up as who they really are, the Jesus people. Oh. Lookalikes of Christ that carry and give birth again. There's two virgin births in the Bible. One is the mother Mary. The other is the last day's church. Paul says, I labor to present to Christ a pure, chaste virgin bride. A virgin bride is coming under the apple tree. There I conceived you, he said. Song of Songs 8. It was under the apple tree I gave birth. Ah, oh, feed on the promises. Feast in the glory. Under the shade where the glory never fades. That's where we're... Oh, what a mystery. That there's something so divine operating in you right now. The seed of God is in us. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, the Greek word is sperma. The sperma of God is in us. That means DNA. That means impregnation. That means birth. That means we're going to fulfill God's eternal plan to replenish the earth in the image and likeness of God. We know a little bit about image. That's why we are pro-life. Because every baby is made in the image of God, whether they're in perfect health or the image of God is upon every human being. Therefore, it is sanctified and dignified with that image. But who knows about the likeness of God? To be like God, the likeness of God. Guess what that word really means? Likeness of God. Zechariah says that the weakest one in this room is going to be like David in the last days. The day is coming that the weakest human being in this room, whoever that person is, I'll volunteer. The weakest one in the room is going to be like David. And together, the company, the congregation will be like God. Verse 13, because of Him, when you who are not Jewish heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Every person in this room, you have been stamped, seal of approval. Good housekeeping seal of approval. Boom, boom, boom. Sealed, sealed tight. Sealed, secure. Sealed with an image stamped on you. And what is that seal? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is the absolute promise that everything God said over you will happen, will come to pass, because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have seven seals, which interestingly is a scroll that is opened in the book of unveiling. You're the seven sealed book. We are the seven sealed scroll. Aren't we living letters, known and read of all men? I said the Logos is already in you. Here's the seven seals of the New Testament. Seven times you have been sealed. Seven places in the New Testament you have been sealed. Seven times. And how many seals are on that scroll in the book of Revelation? I'll let you do the math here. Seven churches with seven seals, with seven spirits. There are seven torches burning on the sea of glass. Oh my. Oh. When you get into the new heaven and the new earth reality and you realize we are the new Jerusalem, we're not going to the new Jerusalem. You're not going up to the new Jerusalem. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible says. It's coming down from heaven. And guess what she looks like? Shulamite. Looks like a bride adorned for her husband. Seal number one, to be made secure. Deuteronomy 32, 34, Matthew 27, 66. Makes you want to go back and get the video and look at it again. Number two, to mark with a seal is to authenticate. So you are made secure and you are authenticated by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit on your life is proof positive. You belong to God. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to church. Whoa, you belong to God. Whoa. Number three, a seal certifies genuineness. Esther 8, verses 8 and 10, and John 3, 33. Those whom God has authenticated, he has sealed, it says, as genuine. Number four, to be marked as ownership, the mark of ownership. The seal of the Holy Spirit is on your life because you are owned by God. 2 Corinthians 1, 22. The seal of approval, right here, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. The seal of righteousness, Romans 4, verse 11. And a seal proving a promise will be fulfilled, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now, the mark of the beast is on the forehead and the hand. That's what they think and what they do. Same place Goliath was killed. Okay? Goliath is a picture of the mind of man. Did you know the word Goliath is the root word from which we get Golgotha? And by the way, what does Golgotha mean? Yeah. And where did Goliath get hit? Until you get hit there, you'll never understand the revelation of God. Until the cross pierces yours. The place of the skull has to be broken open for revelation to come. The door to truth is not the intellect. The door to truth is a spirit yielded to God. Seven seals. Now, we have the mark of the beast, but we have the seal of the Spirit. And that seal, according to Song of Songs, chapter 8, is where? It's over our heart. Put me as a seal over your heart, Jesus said to the Shulamite. So in these last days, we are going to be the seven sealed scroll, knowing our inheritance. The mark of the beast will not be on us because our minds have been pierced and our hands have been sanctified like priests. Their thumb was anointed with, dipped with blood and then with oil. God will always anoint with the Spirit what he's cleansed with blood. Now, the promised Holy Spirit, verse 14, this is so awesome. Guys, are you sitting down? This is amazing. It says that he is given to us like an engagement ring. is given to a bride. Now, the word for a pledge or down payment is arabon, A-R-R-A-B-O-N. Arabon, in modern Greek, has come to be known as engagement ring. This is the word used in Greek for a pledge, a down payment. This is, do you understand that if the Holy Spirit gifts fruit, wisdom, power, if the Holy Spirit is just the engagement ring, my Lord, what kind of marriage are we in for? I mean, he put a rock on it, baby. Whoa. He put a ring on it, didn't he? Put a ring on it. And the ring is the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Spirit is but a promise of something coming, what in the world? Start imagining what's coming. I dare you. It will exceed your imagination in every way. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance. The Aramaic word for inheritance can also be translated dividend. Dividend. Like that. He pays some really good dividends. We inherit our wealth by faith, but we invest our wealth by doing the works of the Holy Spirit. All right, so the Holy Spirit is the first installment of what is coming. All the gifts, all the fruit, all the wisdom, all the power of the Holy Spirit is the first installment. That's the down payment. I mean, when you buy a house, you're going to buy a $500,000 house, you're going to put down 20, but 20 is but a down payment. You get the point that you're going to inherit. I mean, we have been given so much, so much. So don't eat out of the brown paper bag. It's paid for. It's all paid for. It's all in the cross. So the Holy Spirit is the first installment. Verse 15, because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, verse 16, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. And now in verse 17, he's going to begin one of the greatest prayers in the Word of God. It's an apostolic prayer of Paul. There's about 40 apostolic prayers, and I've made a list of those for you. I gave it as an appendix in your syllabus. You turn to the very back, and I have a list of the 40 apostolic prayers in the New Testament. And I categorize them I put some together because they're virtually similar in their content. But apostolic prayer is much different than IHOP. It's much different than Beauty Realm, contemplative prayer. And it's much different than any prayer meeting you've been in. And apostolic prayer is coming to a church near you. There's coming a new revelation of the prayers of the Bible, the prayers of the apostles, and what they prayed for. If we'll start to pray those prayers, we will see regional breakthrough, territorial manifestation of glory. Because there is an anointing on Ephesians chapter 1, that prayer of Paul. And he has seven requests. He prays for seven things in chapter 1 of Ephesians. So why do you think Paul is going to pray? He tells us all we have. He gives us first installment. We have Espiritu Santo is our engagement ring. And he tells us we're chosen, we're blessed, and inheritance, and the redemption, the blood, the grace cascading. And then he stops and says, but you know what? You're not getting it. I've got to pray that your eyes get enlightened. But what he prays is that the eyes of your imagination, God wants to redeem your imagination. Faith is a form of imagination. Fear is wrong imagination. Anxiety, worry, and cares is you're imagining something that will not happen. And should it happen, God's big enough to help you through it. And in a temporary insanity, we begin to churn our heart in imagination, in fear. But God wants to redeem the word imagination and flood your eyes with so much light of hope and glory that suddenly your imagination is filled with God. Do you know why God destroyed the earth in a flood? Because every imagination of their heart was wicked. Imagine if He will now flood you with glory, if every imagination of your heart is, oh my, I'm having a Georgian and Winnie moment up here. Woo. Love you, Georgian and Winnie. Imagine if instead of flooding the earth with water to destroy, He floods your eyes with glory to enter into the fullness of what He just told you you got. And it's going to take the greatness of God's power to make real the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. It takes that kind of power to make real the blessings He's given you. Verse 15, he heard about two things. I wish that every person in this room, that it could be said of you, I heard about your strong faith and your tender love to all His devoted ones. May it be that in the days to come, what we're known for here in Southern California is strong faith and tender love to one another. That's my prayer for you as a father, so to speak. I pray for you and for this course and those of you watching this course as well, that you would be known as those of strong faith and tender love. Can't wait to share more with you in the next session. Thank you. Thank you.